Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
I think it's Chris Vallotton who said he was preparing a sermon, and then just before the sermon he asked, "But what, God, what do you think about my sermon?" And it's kind of that way. I had such a good idea of what I wanted to share. And this morning I just felt God say, just come and rest and be confident. Come and rest and be confident. I want you to turn to Matthew 7. Jesus is busy with his Sermon on the Mount, and I just started reading in Matthew 7, and really just about, I was just so aware of the heart of the Father this morning. And Jesus is introducing the Father to people. That's really what one of the biggest things Jesus came to do, was to bring the kingdom, but along with the kingdom came a whole new understanding of who God is, and that is God the Father. And so he says here in 7 verse 7, he says, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find it. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds him, and he who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. What man is there of you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll hand him a serpent. Yeah, Jesus is stepping in that very sentence. He's going back to when he was tried in the wilderness. And it says he fasted for 40 days. I like how it put it. It says he fasted for 40 days and then he became hungry. I'm normally hungry like 2 hours into my first day of fasting. Okay. So Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then he became hungry. And listen to the voice of the enemy, the voice of the devil. He says, are you really the Father's son? Are you really loved by him? Does the Father really love you? If you are, why don't you talk to these stones? And Jesus says something very important. He says, the Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Man's sustenance, man's value, man's identity, man's purpose, the fact that I am a son of God isn't because he's given me bread or not. It's because he has proclaimed who I am. And I'm not alive just because of bread. I'm alive because of who he says I am as his child. So, yeah, in this, I just saw this parallel, verse 9. Everyone, he asks, what man is there if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? But it's so much deeper than that. Jesus is saying, because of God's love, because of God's love, I am his son. And I'm sustained by every word that comes from God. Every single word. Marika's testimony. Hey, some people do struggle. Some people struggle. Some people do doubt the goodness of God when bread's not on the table. But Jesus says, I'm not alive because of bread on the table. I'm alive because of his word. If then, as evil as you are, you know how to give good and good gift, advantageous gift to your children, how much more Will your Father who is in heaven, as perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking? Now, here's the part where some struggle, but yeah, this. So then, whatever you desire that others would do to you, even so, do that to them. For this sums up the law and the prophets. But the gate is narrow, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads to life, and few are those that find it. I want you to jump to verse 20. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. He's talking about a good, let's go back to 18. Sorry, jump back. A good and healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear excellent fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. And I want to reflect again on Abraham's life. Abraham had to become a father of nations. That's who God created him to be. God created him to not just be an excellent father, Abram, but to be the father of nations, Abraham. And Jesus says here, he says, the gate is narrow and few are those who find it. And something that we've said often in our church, and if you've been here for a while, is that we don't have a desire, or we don't, our first goal is not to grow a big church. Our first goal is to facilitate growing big people. Does that make sense? So, if we become mature to the level of Christ, Ephesians 5, and we live knowing, wow, we're awesome children of God, and we live to the full potential that He's given us just because we're in His love, then things are going to grow on their own. But our first goal is not, okay, we need to be 1,000 people by this date and by this, and we're doing everything we can just to become a big church. No, the focus is on how do we become big people. And so God spoke to us back in the day, it sounds like forever ago, long ago. And He said, everyone is born a child of God, but not everyone becomes a father. I'm talking to ladies too. And then He showed me the journey that Abraham had to go on. It's the journey of faith, it's the journey of trust. It's the journey of saying, okay, I am going to live by the word of God. And I realize that God has a great purpose in me. That as you were just proclaiming that, God has a purpose in the fact that I worship and glorify God. But man, He's got a calling on my life. He's got a road and a direction. And God comes to Abraham and He says, if you stay here in the land of your fathers, you're going to die here. I love you. You're my child, and I'll always love you. But if you walk with me, if you journey with me, I'm going to make you into a father. Jesus says, that road is narrow, and few find it. He's not saying that as a prophetic declaration, few will find it. He's saying, few find it. He's looking at where mankind is. He's looking at the current condition. And God's inviting us to say, I am not going to rely on the land of my fathers. I'm not going to rely on what I see with my eyes. I'm not going to rely on the bread on the table, if I can put it that way. But God's got a bigger calling, a greater calling, which is for me to grow as a child, to mature to the fullness of Christ, and then become a father to nations. That's His calling on our lives. That's what He's called us to do. And so I see how God demonstrated His desire to first be our Father through Abraham's life. I see how God was, as Abraham was going through this journey of becoming a father, God all the while is speaking to us about Him becoming our Father. Because in Abraham's day, God wasn't a father as people knew Him. They knew Him as God. But there was something that took place where God becomes Father. Jesus Christ comes manifest as a Son, and He becomes our Father. So I want to encourage you to hear God's voice, to say, God, where do you want me to go? What journey am I on? What is the faith that you've called me to? And it's there's a growing up and a trust that comes when we step out into faith, when we step into faith. And by that I mean it's being able to hear His voice and be obedient to Him and actually step out. Life can't just be about getting through, about just living, about doing our jobs, and there's a calling, something that we need to press for, something that we need to go for, that God's placed in front of us. Now He speaks about a good and a healthy tree cannot bear fruit. I want to go to Ezekiel 31. With this being said, Jesus is called up to, when He was in the 40 days, it says the devil took Him and placed Him on top of the temple. And then He said, if You're the Son of God, throw Yourself off. Because, now the devil says, because Scripture says, now, do you hear this? Jesus has said, Scripture says man will not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now the devil's like, okay, so now I'm going to use the word. I'm going to use Scripture. Throw yourself off because Scripture says the angels will come and hold you. And Jesus is like, but on the other hand, Jesus Himself is pointing to another Scripture. On the other hand, it says, don't test God. So I'm saying this morning, God wants to bring us to the fullness of fatherhood. He wants to make us great. But on the other hand, and this is Jesus standing on the temple, the devil is testing Him on the heights. In Ezekiel 31, it says, in verse 5, I'm just going to underline it, says, therefore, it towered higher than all the trees. It's talking about the nation of Egypt. Its boughs were multiplied, its branches became long because there was much water and they shot forth. Verse 7, thus it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its root was by many and great waters. Verse 10, therefore thus says the Lord, because it is exalted in stature and has set its top among the thick boughs and the clouds, and its heart is proud because of its height. So on the one side, God's saying, you will judge them by their fruit. You will judge the trees by their fruit. But on the other hand, when you grow to great heights, don't allow your heart to become proud because of your height. Verse 14, all of this is so that none of the trees by the waters may exalt themselves because of their height or shoot up their top among the thick boughs and the clouds, and that none of their mighty ones should stand upon their own estimate of themselves for their height. What the devil was trying to do with Jesus was trying to get him to stand on the temple and estimate himself by his own height. That's why Jesus says, don't tempt God. Don't test God, sorry. Don't test him. I've been placed here. I've been given everything. I have a calling. I have a place. I have a purpose. But on the other hand, don't exalt into the heights that you grow to. What's that got to do with the heart of the Father? The journey of growing, the journey of being nurtured, the journey of becoming great is nested in our trust that God loves us. It doesn't matter how big you are, how great you are, how far you go, how much influence you have, how much people you know, how many you don't know. What matters is how much do we trust in God the Father. And yes, Abraham, he has wealth that rivals nations. Abraham was bigger than a Gupta. Okay. He came into a country and the king says, hey, I'm scared of you. I'm afraid of you because of the wealth that you bring in. That's how much wealth and influence Abraham had. And God says, I want to honor you more, Abraham. And Abraham says, what can you give me? What can you give me? No, Abraham, speaking to God. What can you give me, God? Because I have no son who will carry my inheritance. Abraham's realizing the wealth, the influence, the whatever he has, the servants mean nothing unless there is a son that can carry an inheritance in love. Unless a father can really become a father and can demonstrate his love to a son. And he realizes that nothing is more important than what God has called him to do, which is to be an excellent father and then a father of many nations. The other stuff enables that, but it's not the important stuff. What's important is I'm a father, and I'm a father to nations, and I'm going to trust God in that. That's what's most important. I remember starting to work here in church, and I also was like, God, what's my purpose? We didn't have kids yet. God said to be a father. He hadn't released me to become anything else but a father. We were pretty good at it. We had 4 kids. And I mean, I've got 60 years on Abraham, you know. And but for that moment, when I asked God, where do I go? What do I do? He said, to be a father. That's your first and foremost calling. And as you are a good father to your children, so you'll become a father to others. Is that good? So, God wants to take us and create us and make us trees that bear much fruit. But on the other hand, don't stand. That none of the mighty ones should stand upon their own estimate of themselves. When I read that as well, I want to say, your estimate will never match God's estimate of who you are. Your estimate will never match God's estimate of who you are. You are way more valuable than you think you are. The moment you say, wow, I'm good, God's going, you ain't seen nothing yet. But if you think you're good, you can stay there. So rather rest in God's love for you. Rather allow Him to be your water. Allow Him to be your spring. Psalm 62. The sermon's not legal until you've read Psalms. For God alone, just I want you to circle God alone in your Bible. For God alone my soul waits. From Him comes my salvation. He only, circle only in your Bible, is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. Verse 5, my soul wait only upon God and silently submit to Him, for my hope and my expectation are from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock of unyielding strength and impenetrable hardness. Trust in the Lord and have confidence in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge. Verse 11, God has spoken once, twice, I've heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, Lord, belong mercy and loving kindness, for you render to every man according to his work. God has spoken, listen, God has spoken once, twice, three times, four times, I've heard this. Power, real power, belongs to God. But on the other hand, because of God's kindness, God gives to every man according to his work. Does that make sense? Have you read it that way before? Say with me, on the other hand. Start seeing the other hands in the Bible. Start seeing them. I want to pray over every person in our church that God will give you the ability to rest, but on the other hand, have confidence. God wants to give us rest, but on the other hand, He wants to give us confidence. God wants us to be able to, in rest, receive, but on the other hand, He wants us to give. Be able to give freely. Yes, something about fathers. And this is the fruit that grows on our trees. If you're asking, what is the fruit? It's not a banana, it's not a pawpaw. What is the fruit? The fruit is the following. Fathers create space for others' identities to flourish. That's the fruit. Fathers create space for others' identities to flourish. And they do everything in their power to enable others so that their identities can flourish. Fathers don't control. Fathers don't manipulate. Fathers don't command. Fathers don't order. They create an environment where identities can flourish. Come on, if I can be part of the bride, ladies, you can be a father. Okay? So don't think I'm just talking to the men in the room. Fathers, because they've been obedient, they become fathers of nations. But what they've done is they've chiseled through a pathway for others to follow, so that their identities can flourish. That's really, in a basic, that's what my job is with my four children, is to make sure that I create the space that their identities flourish to the full. And that's the fruit that grows on our trees. That's the fruit that people see. Can we trust God that He will provide us the ability, or give us the ability to rest and have confidence in His love? Does that make sense this morning? Amen. Let us stand together. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your freedom that was declared in this room this morning. For the freedom that you've proclaimed over every one of our lives. And I just thank you that you give us the freedom to hope and expect in you. Because power comes from you. You've given us your power, your strength. And this morning I want to pray over every person in this room, Lord, that we will be able to rest and have confidence. Father, that we'll be able to trust you and walk with you. And so, Father, I just ask for and pray for a release in every person's life, in every person's heart, in every person's body. Father, may we step more boldly than we ever have before. I pray for a boldness on the church to walk in your kingdom's ways. Lord, that as we walk and break open things, that we'll look back and we'll see people standing up in their identity in you, in their identity in Christ. We thank you for the gift that you've given us, the ability to step freely into your presence. But I also pray, Father, that you'll help us to receive. Some people have struggled to receive what you have for them. Lord, open up our hearts, open up our arms. We're worthy of receiving your goodness. But Father, help us then to give of that which we carry in our hands. Help us to flourish in Jesus' name. May children grow to become fathers of nations and walk boldly in the purpose that they have, that you have given. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless every person.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.